It's time now for a bit of Changing Australia. When you think of Newcastle, you might picture giant ships accessing the world's largest coal port. But the region is also home to a very large and internationally significant wetland, one that's been painstakingly restored over years to protect mangroves, salt marsh, threatened animals and dozens of native birds. Craig Copeland has helped to lead the way from senior roles at New South Wales Fisheries to founding Ausfish, an army of recreational fishers to help repair and build fish habitats around the country. Very pleased to say that Craig is my guest this morning on Changing Australia. G'day, Craig. Welcome.
Good morning, Sally.
You weren't a big fisher when you were younger, but growing up in Newcastle, you had your pick of waterways. What was your relationship with the habitat around you? How important was it to you even as a kid?
As a young kid, we used to had a little creek outside of our, just down the road from our house. We used to ride our bikes down there. We used to build dams and do all sorts of things and catch fish and put them back in. And it was quite a lovely, you know, growing up experience. But of course, that's underneath a shopping centre now, and it's quite a different place. We used to travel around Newcastle through the drains of Newcastle, and that was the easiest way to get around. So ride our bikes through the concrete, you know, stormwater drains. That was didn't realise then that used to be a creek and used to be full of fish, and so it was a learning experience.
What's it been like for you as, you know, having those early and very personal experiences of this environment around you, and then in your professional world starting to understand what's missing, what's damaged and what needs to be repaired?
Part of it was just, I guess I was lucky. I went to uni at Newcastle, studied ecology, loved the whole idea, got my, you know, diving ticket, and just spent a lot of time on the water, and I just actually just felt passionate about looking after waterways. I don't know when it started. I just felt I just needed to learn about it and do something about it. So I was I went through a lot of jobs to try and get my first one with fisheries, and I guess I ended up in a place that I loved.
What was it like in the early days when you were starting to express some of these views, and perhaps community views were a little bit different?
That was a challenge. So when I first started, my job was to protect fish habitat from development. So I had to, you know, make suggestions for, you know, responses to development applications. I travelled up and down the North Coast from, you know, the Hunter through to the Tweed, and saw all of these developments that were happening in the 90s. It was quite astounding, and a lot of people didn't quite sort of get on board with the fact that we needed to protect them, and that was a bit of a challenge. There was quite a few, thankfully, really strong commercial fishing people who took up the fight and helped me out, and an organisation called Ocean Watch, which did a great job sort of advocating for those sort of things. But there was quite a lot of things missing, and one of the first things I had to do was, you know, just look at trying to compensate for losses when people put a development application in. And one of my bigger ones that I was looking at was a development at Stockton in Newcastle. And I actually had a conversation with some people down there at the time, and they said, well, this area that we were looking at was about, you know, 30 or 40 square metres of mangroves that were going to go. And there was a bit of a laugh, because most of the Hunter had lost, you know, hundreds and hundreds of hectares of mangroves and salt marsh and all this fish habitat back when they sort of constructed Kooragang Island out of what was, you know, a number of islands in the lower Hunter estuary to make the industrial site. And it was sort of like, okay, I thought, why don't we create a project and to actually restore it? And that's where then the Kooragang Wetland Rehabilitation Project was born. And we started work, you know, restoring 600 hectares of land, and it was been successful.
Craig, how and why are wetlands just so important to the water and the land?
Well, there's two parts to it. The first part is places to hide, get away from things. So these are habitats that, you know, juvenile fish go into, both to eat, but also to hide from predators. The food that comes out of wetlands is the productive base of most of our fisheries in the country. I don't think, you know, still people don't quite get that. So the food that comes out, all of the eggs of crabs, the crabs themselves, the small prawns, these are things that are part of the food chain, but also part of the fishery. And without those wetlands, you don't get those fisheries. So this is, and we've had so much loss that we actually have to really put it back.
The estuary that you first started taking a look at and working on, how did you start to go about this project? Was it difficult to figure out where to start, Craig?
Well, yes, it was. And the most difficult thing was that I had no funding to do anything, so I had to go and get some funding from other places. I was lucky. I met a great gentleman called Frank Rigby, who was the Deputy Lord Mayor of Newcastle. He helped me get Newcastle City Council on board. We got some funding from them. We got some funding from what was called the Estuary Management Program in the department. They matched it. And we got a feasibility study going. And then we said, we can actually do this. We can actually restore these wetlands on Ash Island, the part of the Kooragang Island. And then we got a great, project manager on board who was there then for the next 20 years, Peggy Svoboda, who really just made it all happen. And my job was just to come up with the idea and bring some people together, and everyone else had to go and do the hard work.
So the physical work of trying to repair this habitat, what does it involve?
Repairing habitat is, for a large extent, is quite easy. It actually is basically putting the hydrology back. So a lot of the places up and down, or all around the coast, wetlands like mangroves and salt marsh, they've been blocked off. So there's a floodgate or a bund or something that's stopping the salt water getting in there. And that was all done through the 50s and 60s, where all of these works were taking place because they thought it was going to be better for agriculture and better for the environment. And, of course, it didn't turn out to be that way. So now we've had to restore them. Part of it is just putting that flow back. Sounds simple, but it takes years and years of work and studies and money to make all those things happen, agreements with landholders and so on and so forth. So.
In 2012, Craig, you set off on a Churchill Fellowship, and on the back of that you set up this organisation, AusFish, in 2015. Tell me about that.
Look, I travelled around and I saw just some fantastic organisations in other countries where recreational fishers were actually just getting involved in things. There's about 4 million recreational fishers in Australia. If I could get a small percentage of those interested, in doing this habitat work. And I didn't think it was going to be much of a struggle because, most of the wreck fishers I knew were passionate about the environment anyway. So I thought, we can put this organisation together in Australia called AusFish. And so we put it together. And I was just working voluntarily while I was still working in the department. And then I was lucky enough to get a meeting with BCF, Boating, Camping and Fishing, and they said they'd get behind this idea, and we took off. I started work as the CEO, and I brought on, thankfully, I brought on my 2OC, Cassie Price, who's now the CEO, and, together we sort of grew AusFish, and it's, thousands and thousands of volunteers who take part in the work around the country.
And what sort of locations have they been undertaking this work?
Oh, everything. Freshwater, right up the top of the catchment, right down to the estuary, seagrass, shellfish, restoring these environments is complex. There's lots of permits required. It's actually quite difficult, in fact, to do. And sometimes some of these projects have taken us multiple years, but without the sort of community of effort that goes in, we wouldn't happen. We've actually, last year I think we had nearly 10,000 volunteer hours. Sort of 50,000 volunteer hours, but about 10,000 people involved. So it was actually, without that, nothing's going to happen. And then, of course, BCF's customers, the customers go into BCF and they just provide a little donation. It might be 5 cents or 20 cents or, every time they shop. And, I think we're over $1 million a year from customers and BCF corporate. Mm. And without that sort of money behind us, none of this sort of happened. And the money and the volunteers, and on and off we go.
You're listening to Changing Australia and you're hearing from Craig Copeland, founder of Ausfish. What's the feedback that you get, Craig, from the fishers who volunteer some of their time to take part in this sort of work?
Oh, look, there is so much joy. And I think anyone who restores an environment somewhere, puts something back, they just can't believe that they're actually making a difference. And then when they do so, they just feel absolutely fantastic. And so it's, you know, planting trees in the riverbank or putting shellfish reefs back in the water or rescuing, you know, threatened fish when we've got those droughts. Everyone just feels like they're making a contribution and they're trying to, you know, not only make the country better in the future, but also resilient to changes that are coming.
Well, how do you measure the restoration and whether it's working?
We have memorandums of understanding with most of the universities in the country. We've actually got scientists on board who just, you know, who monitor a lot of our work. And so, yes, some of it is just straight, you know, if you see seagrass going back in, it's going to produce more fish, and the same for shellfish reef. And this work's been done internationally, but it's been backed up in the work we're doing in Australia at the moment. And every time you open a floodgate and restore the hydrology or, you know, put these seagrass back in, you get more fish. And so we calculated, I think it was last year, 1.9 million, more fish are in the water thanks to the work that we've been doing, and that number is only going to increase.
You've stepped back as CEO of Ausfish, Craig, but you haven't stopped working and campaigning. What's next on the agenda for you?
My wife Paula would say that we're going to travel a lot more and I'm not going to be focused on work, but I don't think that's going to be the case. I've got a National Fish Habitat Partnership that I'm working with the Fish First Nations and with the seafood industry. Collectively, we know that habitat is an issue, and we're trying to work together to actually put together how a new program could be designed to restore the fisheries around the country. And so that's just one of the things that I'm working on, plus trying to restore the Tuckian Swamp in the Richmond, which is one of those big productive wetlands that were important to everybody, and we're trying to get that restored. So yes, that's a few things to do, not quite retired.
That'll keep you busy. Craig, lovely to have you on the program this morning. Thank you very much and best wishes for you and your volunteers with the work in the future.
Thank you, Sally.
Craig Copeland is the founder of Ausfish, tapping into the enthusiasm of amateur recreational fishers around the country.